This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. I want to invite you out to Island Community Church this weekend. If you're looking for a church home, if you're hungry for the Word, if you like programs such as this and you live around here, I invite you to come out for more of what you hear daily here on this radio program. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. We're going through a series in the book of Genesis Sunday evening. Wednesday night, I'm teaching the book of Acts, and we're getting close to wrapping up Acts, and I'm going to be starting 1st and 2nd Peter shortly after. But this Sunday morning, we're looking at something that the Apostle John said. It's found in 1st John chapter 2. He says, little children, it is the last hour. Now, 2,000 years later, scoffers and agnostics can take what he said and do exactly that. Scoff at that and say, we're still here, Johnny, 2,000 years later. Now, I can get up, and I will get up this Sunday morning at 10:30 or 11 o'clock by the time I'm standing up, and I'm going to say the same thing. Little children, church family, friends, radio listeners, it is the last hour. Now, what makes me telling you, faithful listener out here, what makes me telling you it is the last hour different than the Apostle John saying it 2,000 years ago? That is what we're looking at. I've got a short list of things to answer that direct question. Why is it different, me getting up telling you it's the last hour, than John getting up and telling you it's the last hour? Well, let's just cut to the chase and say, well, certain things had to happen first before the Lord could come back in John's time. For instance, Isaiah chapter 66, he says, who has seen such a thing? Shall a nation be born in a day? You see, we needed to see the rebirth of Israel first prior to that. Now, I'm going to save the rest of that for Sunday morning. It's things like that, things that had to happen first prior to, let's say, God's hourglass working again and the sands of time going through that hourglass. At some time in history, you see, God stopped the sand from going through there. I won't say anymore. I invite you to come out to Island this week. You'll hear the podcast here coming up on the radio as well. Here today, we're looking at this list of things that Paul boasts about. Once he understands that the grace of Jesus Christ was all that he needed, he now can get up and say something like this. He says, most gladly, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9, most gladly, therefore, I will boast or glory in my infirmity, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then he says, I take pleasure in. All right, now here comes the apostle's list of things he takes pleasure in. And I encourage you, check this with your list and see how you're doing. I take pleasure in infirmities. These are all plural too. Reproaches, necessities, I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in distresses. For Jesus' sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's safe to say, Paul discovered the secret. We're looking at the last part of this message now, Paul's thorn in the flesh. And Lord willing, we'll be back again soon. I invite you to come out to Ireland this weekend. Love to meet you there. Let's get into the last part of this message now, Paul's thorn in the flesh.
What is grace? God's unmerited favor. I like that. A.W. Tozer explains this. Grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving, unquote. So grace is not merely unmerited favor. It's favor bestowed on sinners who deserve wrath. Showing kindness to a stranger is unmerited favor. Doing good to one's enemies is more the spirit of grace. Grace is not an abstract quality, but a dynamic, active, working principle. Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Grace is God's sovereign initiative to sinners, Ephesians 1:5. Grace is not a one-time event in the Christian experience. We stand in grace, Romans 5:2. The entire Christian life is driven and empowered by grace. Hebrews 13:9, it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace and not by foods. Peter said we should grow into grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Thus we could properly define grace as the free and benevolent influence of a holy God operating sovereignly in the lives of undeserved sinners. And this grace, the Lord says, is all that we need. Friend, church family, all you need is God's favor in your life directed at you. That's all you need. God's favor on you. God looks down on you, and you are in his favor. Your name is engraved in the palm of his hands. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. On your worst day, God's favor is God loving you on your worst day, in your worst state. That is favor and the grace of God. Unmerited, undeserved. Now, Paul, once he's able to grasp this awesome truth, now Paul can make the following statements. Verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boast in my infirmity. Boast in my sickness. Boast in the things that drive me to my knees, causing me to come boldly to the throne of grace that I may find mercy. And grace to help in time of need. Paul discovered the secret. He discovered the secret that Jesus Christ was all that he needed. He discovered the secret that Jesus sustained him. He discovered the secret that Jesus had his back. He discovered the secret that no one was going to thwart God's plan from being carried out. Not for a bazooka, but for being in the favor of God. He discovered the secret that the grace of God was on his side. He discovered the secret that the grace of God included him. He discovered the secret God's favor was upon him. And now, with this newfound knowledge, Paul now has a new list of things that brings him great joy, right here in this text. Therefore, I take pleasure in, I think the New King James says, or another translation, says, I delight in, I delight. a 65-foot yacht, a 55-inch plasma television set, season tickets to the Miami Dolphins. Doesn't sound quite right, does it, Pam? It's not what your Bible says. I take pleasure in infirmity. How are you doing on that one today? Get behind me, because I'm first in line that can't say this. We've got the life of this man to try to imitate. He said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He delighted in infirmities. He delighted in reproach, Greek word hubris. Isn't that an English saying? You got a lot of hubris. Hubris means an injury and harm done to a person. Hubris is someone who physically hurts somebody else, is what the Greek word hubris means. All right? I delight in infirmity, sickness, weakness, whatever you want to call it. I delight in reproach. I delight in necessities. Lord, I have no clothes, but I have you. Lord, I'm hungry, but I have you. I have your grace. I've got the knowledge that you've got my back. I take pleasure in persecution. Notice all these are plural. And he says, I take pleasure in distresses for the sake of Jesus. Meaning not because these things have fallen on you because of your own sin, but because of the name of Jesus that these things fall upon you. Any sap can go through these things because of your own knuckleheadedness, but because of the name of Jesus when you go through these infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for the name of Jesus. And once again, I leave you with the last part of this verse, and I leave you with the secret. Here it is. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Let me say this to you today, church. If you're never weak or sick or admit to being weak, then you'll never be strong. It's when you're weak is when you're strong. If you don't admit to being weak, you're never going to be strong. You will be strong in your own bootstraps, not in the power of God. The power of God will come upon you when you get down here on your knees at this altar or wherever else and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it without your help. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I've met hundreds of Christians who will never admit they're having a bad day. Every day is rosy and great and perfect and fine. They're never weak. Then you'll never be strong in Jesus' name. If a weak person admits that he needs help and that he can't do it on their own. And that's it for Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul was going to rely on God for his very life. And not only his life, Paul was going to rely on God for his very death as well. And where he was going to go after he died. Paul entrusted his soul to the Lord. How about you?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.